Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jean-Michel Cernley. Like myself, he is in contact with members of the Galactic Confederation, and he had an experience by being contacted by a UFO when he was 18 years old, and it was from that he has become quite proficient at channeling and sending out messages, and he has represented the Confederation at many conferences and reunions in various countries, including the US. So I think we're in for a very interesting program. Are you there, John?
Okay, I'm there, Mike. Really pleased to be on the show with you.
Well, you're very welcome. What I'd like you to tell us, obviously, is what your experience was when you were 18 years old, and perhaps you might also mention in passing, had you had any interest in the subject prior to that date?
Yes, the experience was when I was a teenager. Nothing, any background in religion or metaphysics, absolutely nothing. My family were school teacher, police officers, and they were all atheists. And yeah. one night came that big yellow orange sphere that today people would call a ship of light, but that wasn't UFO. And that ship stood there for 1 week every night above the block where I was living. And at the end of the week, started something in me that pushed me like a big move into reading science fiction and reading metaphysics, and joined a group in Paris at the time led by Louis Powers, who was very good metaphysical all of the time. So my contact started psychic awakening and metaphysical and spiritual awakening in me. That's my experience. The two are totally related. At the time, I published my story in some UFO groups and magazines, and one was in touch, and he authenticated my contact, and it was the only one who was also making a link between the UFOs and the spiritual way. He was going as far as saying that UFOs are related to the return of the Christ.
Yeah.
This is a hot subject because Christian people do not know much what it means, these two words together. So that was basically my experience, and later I had more and more contact with the same ships. I took pictures, I took infrared pictures that were studied by scientists of the European Space Center, and I took videos. One video was shown on the TVs in Norway, Sweden, Finland. And then I ended up with all the big guys that you see in UFO documentaries on TV in big congresses in Germany. I became friends with some of them, and we have exchanged a lot of information, I tell you.
Yeah. Now, when they first contacted you, did they tell you where they were from?
No. They were explaining that they were from a confederation and that to give a particular planet or star had little meanings, and also they don't use names between themselves, but for the sake of communication, they were providing names for us. You know, we will recognize them because we are not telepath like they are.
No.
Some degree, we are. Yes, we are. But not as to the extent that they are.
No. So in between the time when you were first contacted, when you were 18 years old, what happened up to the time when you were then contacted by the Starship Light when you were 33 years old? I mean, did much take place between that period of 18 years to 33?
Yes, it's a period of transit. When they contact somebody, we're talking about the positive extraterrestrials of the Confederation of Light. there is a transit period in which you have to adapt to something in the program or the mission to prepare you. And many of our listeners perfectly know that during the night, all people who are spiritually awakened, we go out of the body and we visit other places and we receive trainings in those places. And for some people like us, called star people or star seeds, we go to the ships to have a training. And I've discovered that the same stories or the quantities like Eugenio Siragusa in Italy, and even American contactees and others, the age of 33 has a meaning. Strange enough, we don't know why. And that's usually the time when they come and they tell you, okay, now you go perfect. You go. You have a goal.
That's right, So over that period of time, do you actually recall going on board their ships?
Only from those memories from the night. And I had a missing time one time with my car. I had 2 hours missing time in the south of Paris, in the middle of nowhere. And I had a missing time also of 50 kilometers for Americans, about 35 miles. And I think at that time I was thinking about one of those ships that I'm in contact with, and I was thinking my car included. My car also was beamed up there. And after that, my car was something like a spaceship. I missed that car today.
Right. So, you refer to the starship Light. Now, is Light the name of the starship?
The name is Lux, but Lux is the Latin word for light. It's about the same.
Right, okay.
I'm in contact also with another ship called Janus and another ship called Crystal Bell. And the Crystal Bell was also a ship that contacted Eugenio Siragusa in Italy in the 60s, 70s, and some other people. So I have a horizontal connection with other people that I met afterwards who were also in contact with the same ship, Crystal Bell.
Yeah.
I understand the Crystal Bell is a starship of light, pretty much in charge of western, southern European countries, something like that.
Right. So each time you had a contact, were you aware that they would be coming back again? I mean, did they tell you each time that they would be coming back to you?
Yeah, they would tell they were coming back, but they don't say when.
Yeah.
Because the program that they call Golden Light, because in European countries, we are not using the word Ashtar Command, which was invented in USA by Turla, an author called Turla. So the program changes all the time because there's always new information coming in their computers, and also it has to do with other dimension. And I'm saying that today, I used not to say that before, but there's something to do with timelines.
Yes.
So, therefore, it's impossible to give a date because there's so many changes. Today, for anybody on the planet, it would be one moment notice, usually, because there's too much changes going on.
Yes. Now, you were told to teach people how to get to galactic consciousness. Did they tell you how you should do that? In other words, can you tell other people how to do it now?
No. Well, I'm supposed I was trained again during the night between 18 years old and 33 for that. But when it happened, anyway, I was puzzled because it was like teaching the people how to pray, and I had no religious background of any kind. And I understood that a prayer or meditation is not an action, it is a state of mind.
Yes.
And one of the big commanders of the Confederation that is known by the Christian has said that repeatedly. See, you don't act, you don't meditate. You have to be in the seventh state of mind, and try to stay in that state as much as possible. And then we can come to you, come close to you. It's more easy for us. But if you do not nothing, it's very difficult. Because your density is too much low and heavy. That's the point. So people interested in UFOs who try to go out there and call the UFOs or ask them to land
doesn't
make any sense to me. And it is not smart for many reasons.
You were asked to assist in ascension. What did they mean by that?
Well, they were saying that the planet has to move to a new position in the universe, same as the solar system, even this galaxy.
Yeah.
But this is almost mathematical. That is why, even if it is not the same extraterrestrials that gave the mathematical figures to the Maya for 2012, it doesn't change the fact. This is something mathematical, astronomical, and like a clock, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean the end of the world. It means that this planet is going to vibrate on a higher frequency. People have to follow that, or they have to leave to another place. The ascension is that, basically. Yeah. And those Nordic, angelic, extraterrestrials, we still have bodies. They are here to help us, and they help us 50%. We call that an assisted ascension, 50-50. They do 50% of the work, we do 50% of the work.
Yes. So, you said... or they told you, rather, that we weren't ready for them to land on the Earth, and that we should meet them halfway.
Yeah.
Do you think we've reached that point yet?
Reached that point if we would have a grassroots movement again, like the, if you remember the movement of the space warriors in the 50s and 60s, which was mocked by Spielberg in his TV series Taken.
Yeah.
I didn't like that way at all. This was very good. And would you believe that some of these guys contacted the Aiden run for presidency of the United States?
Yes.
Gabe Green and another contactee. So we got to go back to such a grassroots movement. So I would suggest, I'm suggesting the ships to come again and show themselves all over the place to the people, to the normal people.
Yes.
And it's the populations which have to decide and make a choice now and say, okay, enough is enough, like we have heard somewhere in the USA. They have to say that enough is enough. We don't want any more of those economic problems, those wars all over the place. We want a kind of peace and harmony, and we'll be all happy in it. And if there are guys out there who could help us, we want them to help us. And then that's the way it works. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Right. Now, somewhere in your, or during the period of your contacts, you evidently met up with someone called Commander Lyra, or is it Lyra? Can you tell us about that?
Well, at the time I had that contact of 33, I started to channel in a regular way, the way that you learn in those esoteric bookstores and all these New Age books and what New Age people do. And I didn't like much that way. I discovered that it was a problem because my mind was putting things in the message. It was confusing. And also at the time I was receiving messages from a space border called Liyur, and I discovered after that it was me. That was my name. I was sending messages to myself. So I said, okay, I'm going to stop to use the word channeling, and I'm going just to write under my own good name.
Yes, of course.
That's my way. Because telepathy, if you remember George Adamski and other people like him, is not words that you receive in your head is an ID that you're going to translate into your own background. So it would be very different from one people to the other. You almost have difficulties to recognize if this is the same being speaking. But yes, it's possible to discern. With discernment, people can do that. But I do not trust channeling today. There are too much interferences in the world, New Age population and milieu. Too much interferences.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I would have thought you might have been in favor of channeling in as much that you tell us that you had a special mind connection installed, which was a permanent link with the computers of light. Now, wouldn't that have enabled you to be very clear and positive in the channeling?
Yes, it's more like a permanent connection, which made me able to say something on their behalf or do something on their behalf without having to put myself in a meditation state or trance state like those channelers do. I don't have to do it. And also they have an interdimensional device. I will not call it computer, but it's a computer of light if you want. And these things called synchronizer,
yeah,
who follows the contactees with that program, everywhere they are, 24/7. So, and it's that device that make that connection with the fleet and permanent connection, so nothing is lost and there are very little differences.
Now, I gather you have said that there are fleet volunteers already on the Earth.
Yeah.
Have you knowingly ever met any of them?
Yes, because after I started to have that contact and took these pictures that were published in magazines and authenticated by scientists, I started to receive to be contacted by people who had dreams and who said they were not from here. And then we got the first people mentioning the star people. It was Francie and Brad Steiger. Remember to take Francie Steiger in it, because people forgot Francie Steiger was part of that book. And she was important. I was in contact with her by mail. She was the most important of the two regarding the star people.
Right.
So then star people started to get together all over the place.
Yes.
Like people like attracts like, see? That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the most important point. Star people point is very, very important in all that process.
Yeah. Where do you think we are at the moment as far as our preparations ready for ascension? Do you think the Earth and the people on it are progressing very quickly?
We have been in some stalemate. Maybe something new will go on. Maybe because people will call more for peace, because Americans seems to awake to some point to do something more clear. They want the truth. They want love. They want peace. Something going on. But I think we still have in the figures that was given by Grandmother Windrider. I participated also in Native American conferences.
Yeah.
She was a Maya living in California. She was in contact with the spaceships. And she said in 1998 that the figures are still 35% of this humanity of humans, which are ready to pass into the frequency band of the fifth dimension.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So I believe these figures go down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
I think we may be back at the 35%. One-third of this humanity is not that bad after all.
No,
not that bad a figure.
It sounds quite high to me. Yes.
Yeah, it's high.
Now, I don't know if your understanding is similar to mine. I suspect it is, but I believe that the Earth also is a ascending, and for that reason also has to be cleansed. And if that is the case, how do you see the physical changes affecting us?
If you listen to many Native American elders, they are speaking all the time about that now, that Mother Earth is doing a big change, and we have to follow us and help us doing that change. I would say the Mother Earth is going to separate herself, like shedding your skin. Suppose that you have a grapefruit, which would have not only one skin, but let's say three skins.
Yes, yeah.
One skin will be the fifth dimensional one, one skin will be the fourth dimensional one, and one skin the third dimensional one.
Right, yeah.
And at some point of mathematical end of the cycles in this galaxy and universe, these skins will separate. And each one will go around a new planet, and basically you will end with three different planets, Earth, but not in the same universe, not in the same dimension.
Right, yeah.
And people have to make the choice on which one they want to go.
Yeah.
And that choice is now.
Right. So, you've mentioned 2012. Do you believe that that will actually be the final point before the new beginning starts? Do you think all those decisions will have been made by then?
It's possible. If we have that famous critical mass of the 100 monkey that I suppose a lot of people know about, is a scientific law of change of paradigm for a society, it's possible. After all, we could be in stagnation for years, and suddenly, boom, there's something going on, like it happens in the USA.
Mm.
So almost overnight, something could happen, and then everything would change.
Right. People seem to have different ideas as to the extent of the changes. I personally don't think they will be quite as great as some people believe, with a tremendous loss of life.
Yeah.
What's your opinion about that? Do you think they will be severe?
Well, it's also more and more technical, if you want. For beings living in the third dimension, the fourth dimension is more shadow of the third, but anyway. So,
yeah.
People living in third dimensional consciousness and worlds still use various ways to evolve, such as reincarnation. To the Christians who are listening, I point out again that reincarnation was taught by Jesus. It was in the Bible, and it was removed by the leaders of that church in the 5th century. It was there. So there's no way to avoid that thing.
Right.
So, for the people who still have the third dimensional consciousness, they will do again the reincarnation, which is basically losing the body and incarnate into a new one somewhere else.
I agree.
That could be called the loss of life.
Yes, indeed.
The elders of the Hopi Council, among others, said there will be many dead on the ground. They have the vision. There will be many dead on the ground.
Yes.
But on that timeline, or on that skin, which is the third dimension, I would suppose that on the fifth dimensional skin, we will not see those dead people. And also, there are fifth dimensional pockets, and people will be attracted, will be already living in these places, and these places will not be touched by that big transition that will occur for the third dimensional people.
Yes.
So, it's like different timelines. It depends on which one you are. You don't see the same thing.
Right, yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
Now, there is also an opinion with regards to ascension that this will be almost unique, in as much that people will ascend with a crystalline version of their present physical body. Is your understanding the same?
Yes, Yes, I do. All I have to do is the soul, you know. It depends on the frequency and consciousness of your soul.
Yeah.
You have galactic material or higher dimensional material in it, which making it more easy to change this body and ascend with it. And ascension is ascending with the body. Like Jesus did, Enoch, guys in the Himalayas, monks, yogis, the Nasazi people. You take your body with you. That's what it is.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you become an angel or a being of light. You just move to another place with your body. Body will be transformed, of course. Very much so.
Right. Yes, I believe that also.
Yeah.
Now, I notice in your write-up that there is mention of something that I would like you to explain. What was the white buffalo miracle? What did that mean to you?
Say again.
Did you hear that?
No, say again. There's some freezing rain in the phone line.
Yeah, there was a little bit of interference, you're right. You make a reference somewhere to what is called the white buffalo miracle. And I wondered what that was.
White buffalo calf woman.
Yeah.
So white buffalo calf woman is a woman who were wearing a white sheepskin who appears to like a scout. And this woman is related to the Parisian Mother Mary and others, because some beings, including Bernard the Fourth, were being witnessing a parition of a lady like that, said, no, it is not the Virgin Mary, it's the white lady. But it is related. They all belong to a galactic sisterhood. So actually, white buffalo calf woman, very obviously, and the Lakota and others agree with me on this, is from outer space. So she is an extraterrestrial too. They all come to all people on Earth, whatever the religion or race, and they teach them the same things, basically.
Right.
Not to mention go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say, is she someone you still have regular contact with?
I have contact with some other ladies of that sisterhood who are aboard the ships. Some are also incarnated on this planet, you see.
Right.
They're not volunteers of the Star People. And they know who they are and who they are working with. They just don't speak out too much publicly about it.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Now, you've written 5 books. I haven't seen the titles of the books, which might give an indication as to what they are about. But would you like to tell us about your books and mention whether they are still in print or available?
No, the books were made in French first, and half of them were translated into German. And my book in German was put in a German magazine called Magazine 2000, and the editors say that was the best synthesis about the contactees with the extraterrestrials. But they are not available in English. I will have to write them again completely.
Yeah.
They were in French and German.
Right.
Yeah.
What were they about? I mean, was it all to do with ascension or different things?
It was everything that we are talking at this moment. On this show,
right.
My contacts, the experience of other contactees, I tried to put together a picture because people on this planet, they separate things instead of putting them together. And I think I did the job to give the whole picture of the Confederation of Light and their program, their plan for this planet.
Right. Well, knowledge of this kind never really ages. It would be nice, I guess, if you had at least one of the books reprinted in English.
I'm thinking to rewrite something because that's missing, I guess. Because I've seen in other countries, and especially in the U.S., a great tendency of people coming up with a book said, I've been contacted with the Pleiadians. The Pleiadians are going to save us all. Or I've been in contact with the Arcturians. Arcturians are going to save us all. But they keep telling about only these people. They don't give the overall picture of a confederation of planets like the physical contact is when we're doing in the 50s.
Yeah.
Well, this is missing, very much so, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure you must have heard of and read Sheldon Neidel's messages from the Galactic Federation.
Yeah.
Have you ever met him at all?
No, I had some contact at some point by email with the woman that was part of his team at the time that separated. So the UNCRO is another group now, and I will trust more the other group than that Sheldon at this time. Because I don't recognize the same information. And, for example, the Confederation of Flight is not involved inside the government of the Earth. That's not their way. They are waiting an answer again because they have all made an offer in the 50s,
the
60s. But they do not mix with government. That's not their way. That would be breaking the prime directive, you know, do that.
So how do they do it?
Well, they send us in. They send star people in. For example, there are a lot of star people who have been successfully awakened in the movie industry and the show business industry. Many of them. Of course, you have some special individuals that are making claims. And you are not sure they are from the same confederations because any planet or any race or civilization out there is sending their own people. But a good many people have been working in the entertainment industry. So we suppose they also are in government, in politicians, and everywhere. They are people. That's right.
Yeah. Including both of us, I guess.
Yeah, otherwise we wouldn't be doing that, do we?
No, I doubt it. Do you think that the series that Steven Spielberg made, Star Trek, and some of his films, do you think that was very realistic and based on the truth?
Well, I am a Trekkie myself, and I know that the actors of Star Trek had their own experiences. William Shatner was saved from a motorcycle accident by our fleet. And Gene Roddenberry didn't say it publicly, but at some point he was participating in channeling groups in California. And obviously, very obviously, in Star Trek universe, you have a lot of input from the Confederation of Planets.
Yes.
The show by Spielberg is made by the other side, I'm sorry to say. I don't agree with saying that the Greys are our ancestors and everything is going to be all right when they come and they're already here. I don't agree with that at all. This is not the same stuff. It's mixing orange with apples. Not the same thing.
What is your view about the Greys then? Why do you think they're here?
The Greys? But the Greys are here because that planet was available to take as a dominion because it was not part of the Confederation. And if there is a law of free will, if the people of this planet would agree to take the Greys and the Reptilians, which are the chief of the Greys, as gods, then the Confederation of Planet couldn't do nothing about it. Because it is still a territory, it's not an organized state. If it becomes an organized state, and that the people of this planet say, we want to be members of the Confederation of Planets, the Greys and the Reptilians, they have to leave you out there, guys, because you don't belong to that confederation. Yeah. They don't want to become part of the Confederation. The Greys and the Reptilians do not want to join that Confederation, and they want to stay in the fourth dimensional band. They don't want to upgrade and evolve spiritually into the fifth dimension. They are not interested in that.
Yeah.
That's clear.
I understand that, yes. Yeah. Now, the story that rather sounds right to me is that the Greys came here to produce hybrids of their own race and humans because they were a dying civilization. Is that something you've heard or believe could be possible?
Yes, but they were a dying civilization because they didn't want to upgrade again into a higher state, and then they evolved backwards. Coming into a third dimensional planet to do what they're doing is the opposite of evolution.
Mm.
So, and the reptilians jumped on that because they were needed those technicians, and it was part of their plan to come back again here as gods and take their slaves with them. And the plan is for the Greys, the reptilians, to take as many slaves with them as possible when this planet is going to separate these layers of dimensions. So people have to be very careful out there. Protection is of the utmost, because even people who have a spiritual awakening could be fooled and taken slave. It's impossible. And if I recall, the name Jesus or John, said it. At the end of time, it would be possible even for the elect one to be fooled and taken.
Right.
it was written.
Yeah. Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about your website and some of the things you do. Do you still have a radio program?
No, I never had a radio program on my own. I was doing a radio program nearby, but I've changed radio programs, so now it seems that I'm going to talk more on BBS.
Right.
I don't have a radio on my own, no.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
How about your newsletter? Is that something you still send out?
Yeah, I send out the newsletter, so people just write to my email to be part of my list to receive my news. So my email is cptnlyur, like Robert, at earthlink.net. And another way to be receiving my news and connect with me, which I find very nice, is MySpace. It has been used a lot by Obama and all the guys. So MySpace is very easy. You come to MySpace to become my friends, and it's easy to communicate. So I'm going to give also myspace.com/CommanderLyur, which is CMDR like Robert, LYUR like Robert. CommanderLyur at myspace.com. And besides, my website, starshiplight.com and goldenlightfleet.com.
Okay. I think it might be a good idea if you repeated your email address again, just in case somebody wasn't ready to take it down. So, give the email address again.
Okay. Email is cptnlyur, or like Robert, at earthlink.net.
Yeah.
.net.
Okay.
Earthlink is .net. Right. Actually, I'm concentrating again to help people to get back in contact again with their memory bank in the DNA, with the galactic heritage, and also valid also for the children of the Earth, the souls who are evolving this planet, because at some point they had also a few lives on other planets. And I help people to my galactic readings to trigger that, and people are very happy when something that had to trigger by themselves the mechanism to open this memory bank. And it will help tremendously at this time of choice, and they see more clearly the way they want to go. And you remember the only spiritual teaching I found in Star Wars when that Jedi Master said to the young Anakin, "Your focus determines your reality." Do you remember this one?
Yes.
Your focus determines your reality. So,
yes.
If a star people or children of yours focus of that heritage of the soul, which is connected to the galaxy, other planets, and other dimensions, this will become a reality.
Right.
That's how it works.
Yeah, so you're saying, obviously, we create our own reality.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. If you were asked to give a message to the people on the Earth, what would it be?
Today would be, it's a time to go beyond any nations and any physical social system and try something totally new. And the first thing would be to reach hands with all the other nations as the people. And do that instead of giving a vote to leaders to do that for yourself.
Yeah.
It's always to do better. It's better to do the work yourself than to tell somebody, "Would you please do that for me?" But the job is better done when you do it yourself.
Right.
Because making peace will only be there when people will be at peace between themselves. And this is a very individual thing that should be done collectively. And also, I want people to understand that because all dimensions are mixed here, and as well as souls for various DNA and lineage, this is too much mixed. This is why it's going to be separated. It is called the shifting of the world. You cannot have peace in the bucket when you have all this mixed, because they will never be happy with each other. They will be never be compatible. It is better that they separate. Yeah. I want to give an example to people, particularly because I suppose your show is listened by a lot of metaphysical and New Age people. There was a group somewhere, I think in California, doing a channeling group. I don't like channeling groups, but suppose to say that this one was genuine, and they were in contact with one member of the Galactic Confederation of Light.
Yeah.
And the people in that group suddenly said, "Oh, it would be so nice if we could bring all our neighbors, all the people around us, in the ships." And the guys there say, "Do you really think so?" Yeah. Well, I have to tell you the truth, people. He said, "If you bring these people with you in the ship, you, this group, will be very happy. But the other people will be not. They will become sick. They will be not comfortable. They will say, 'This is hell. Let us go, please.'" You understand that?
So he tried
to make them understand that concept, that people have to live comfortable in their own reality, you know?
Yes.
You cannot force them. They are not going to beam us, everybody. No way.
Yes.
Show of free will, again, and choice. And that,
no,
that's
I do understand. I do understand it, and I agree with you entirely. No one who is of a lower vibration would be comfortable in the higher vibrations, and that's really what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And reverse.
Indeed.
You used to be on the planet of the Confederation are not that happy here, because it's so hard to survive, it's not comfortable. We are happy with ourselves, we are happy with other people, we love animals, animals love us and everything. But there's something missing.
Yes.
It's not totally comfortable.
No, I know what you mean. Now, something else I noticed on your website, John, you talk about a star-mate connection. Is that something that's still operating, or can you tell us about that?
Yeah, not that much people have connected to each other and had an experience with my relatively large meetings in Germany and Switzerland. At some point, it was in the 90s, starmates started to meet each other, because when you are 100 star people together, things start to happen. So yeah. Soulmates came together and started couples. And within a year, there were about 15 or 16 of them, save one, they all collapsed. And these star people were very desperate and unhappy and didn't understand what was happening. And it was happening to me at the same time. So maybe he was not ready at this time to put the stalemate together, because it's very difficult to stay together here and to make a bubble, a fifth dimension bubble, 24/7 around the two of you all the time. It's very, very difficult. There are too much interferences down here. But we are still open to the idea. It's still out there. People still are connecting. Now we connect to the internet. Maybe it will happen again.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Now, are you still speaking at the Star Knowledge conferences? Is that still going?
I have not seen much information. I tried to get information about new Star Knowledge conferences. And at the moment, no, I've not been going to those since a few years because of travel problems.
Yeah.
And things like that. No, I'm still looking for information. They're still doing it. My friend and brother Staniak is still doing it. But it seems I don't see much information about it around.
No.
So maybe not.
I wondered if you might be appearing anywhere in the very near future that might be in the locality of some of the people listening in, and they might want to sort of come and join you.
Yeah, it's possible too. Again, that's the story of the grassroots movement. If through MySpace or other things, people come together and then ask about to make, again, a conference someplace and all come together, then it will happen. Yeah, of course.
Right, yeah. So are you spending more time giving your talks in France and Germany, or do you equally do as much in the US?
No, I work on the internet, and actually at the moment I do it on the phone with US radio. I feel an obligation to help the US, and there were so many things wrong in here and in there, and it has an impact on the other nations anyway. So it's still very important to have the U.S. at this time. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
Talking about spiritual awakening and make a change of the 100 monkeys. We need 100 American monkeys at this time.
Right.
Maybe you get...
Let me ask you a question about the moon and Mars. From the various photographs that NASA had taken, it seems apparent that there have been bases on both of these planets. Did you have any knowledge about that? In other words, did your contacts tell you about anything to do with these two, the Moon and Mars?
Oh, yeah, of course. We have bases on the Moon, on the on Mars, on the moons of Mars, Deimos. And some of the guys have bases there too. Anyway, to add the story on these bases, I would recommend two books if I have time.
Yes.
Because there's very basic books, they're still the best book I know. They are very old, but that's the best to have. One is just being republished. It is Inside the Spaceships by George Adamski. Right there.
Yeah.
I see it on Amazon.com under my eyes. It's available at Amazon.com. Inside the Spaceships by George Adamski.
Yes.
Even a new publisher has published an unpublished work by George Adamski, and there's a new book who came September 2008 called Pioneers of Space, the long lost book of George Adamski, A Trip to the Moon Mars and Venus.
Oh, right.
In those books, you got all the stories on these bases out there. And I know the basic books, which is out of stock, you have to go in used bookstores.
Or, yes.
Or there are some used bookstores online. Is From Outer Space by Howard Menger. And Howard Menger is a friend and colleague speaker, and I've talked with him, and this is a very good book too. And Howard Menger has been on the base on the moon. From Outer Space,
right,
by Howard Menger. Yeah, these are very good books to see on.
Yes. No, that's very interesting. I do, in fact, still have a copy of the original book of George Adamski's Inside the Spaceships, and I recall it was a very interesting book.
But I think the new one is going to be interesting too, because it has never been published. It's a lost manuscript that is being republished now.
Right. Repeat the title again of the new one for me, Jean.
The new one is called Pioneers of Space, the long lost book of George Adamski, A Trip to Moon, Mars, and Venus. Now, if we have just a few minutes left, I talked with Howard Menger several times, and in the conference in Germany, he said it himself to we were making a. He was talking to my group, and he said,
yes,
I have something to say about Venus, because I do not think I went to this Venus in this solar system.
Oh.
First, the trip was too long. Maybe the same with other people. So, he explained that Venus is probably a generic name of a planet, and there are several Venuses out there. So the Venus went to is probably outside of the solar system. It's still called Venus. And about Venus, too, I would like to say to the people that many Native American elders and chiefs and tribes say that Jesus was a star man and he came from Venus.
Yeah.
That's very well known about Native Americans.
That's interesting, yes.
Yeah.
And I would like to add, just for your information, John, and our listeners, that I did learn that George Adamski admitted that when they met the craft in the desert and they obtained the cast of the footprint, they did actually arrange to have that meeting. That wasn't, as the book said at the time, by chance. They had actually arranged that beforehand.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everything was planned. That should be considered as the first official contact with extraterrestrial flight. The contact. And the Venusian name was Orson. And
there's
also an Orson, which actually is the new name of Jesus, who is the chief of the Confederation, and who gave contacts and information to the group of Universal Link in Denmark, his contact in Ludwiking. And he explained a lot of connection and the links between him and the galactic and the fleet from the Galactic Confederation of Light.
Right. That's interesting.
I'm looking to make comments of this material from Borg Denmark. I need to make the comments because they have a language a bit larger. Genus Syracuse. People have a very Catholic background, for example. The language would be very mixed with words from Catholic language. So it's difficult to read for star people who are not accustomed to that. It's like a translation.
Thank you for that information. John, I'm going to have to stop you here. Time's gone by so quickly, we've reached the end of the program. I've got a couple of minutes to announce next week's guest, which I shall do.
Yep.
So thank you very much for coming on. It was great to have you, and I have to tell our listeners, you did come on at very short notice, for which I thank you.
Yeah, happy to be with you, Mike. Hope to come
great.
In.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Right, now, cheerio, John. Right, friends, next Friday, Melissa Alvarez. She's an award-winning author, graphic artist, website designer, and clairvoyant advisor. And she has a book, The Phoenix Guide to Self-Renewal, and she will be talking about her experience with paranormal groups, metaphysics, and I guess her clairvoyant experiences. But she's quite adept at many other different things. So, again, I think we'll have a very good program with her. So, thank you for being with me today. I do hope you'll be with me next week. Thank you very much. God bless you all.